It's sort of an oracle. I ask the oracle a question and usually get a useful answer.
This is Albert Marugi on The Marketing Edge. Welcome to the second part of our conversation with Julio Ojeda Zapata. He's the technology writer for the St. Paul Pioneer Press. And it is a great conversation that we broke up into two parts. The first part, we talked about his book, iPad Means Business. And if you'd like a chance to win that book, just email me at marketingedge@providentpartners.net. marketingedge@providentpartners.net. Hey, it's the holiday season. Let me feel just a little bit like Santa and pull a random winner out and send you that book. So email me, marketingedge@providentpartners.net. I will pull a random winner out before Christmas. And this we're going to post here on the 22nd of December as I'm recording it this Wednesday morning. This part of our conversation doesn't talk so much about his book, but it does talk about his role as a reporter and as a writer and how he uses social media as a resource. And there are several ways that Julio uses social media and several different traditional and non-traditional resources that he uses. And so anyone who's in corporate communications, corporate PR at an agency will get something out of this podcast, as Julio is one of the leading tech writers in the country, where he writes both for the Pioneer Press as well as several blogs. And so I bring you now this conversation with Julio Zapata as he describes what he thinks about social media and how he uses it. And then we get into this conversation.
Well, you know, PR people can contact me any way they like, you know, phone, physical mail, email, you know, Twitter, whatever. You know, but if I express a preference, you know, electronic, reaching out electronically is preferable. You know, phone calls are kind of disruptive. Twitter is a good way to you know, if you want to reach me, you know, use Twitter. I have very productive exchanges with PR people on Twitter, like Karen Smith, the Verizon PR person in the Twin Cities. She and I communicate almost exclusively on Twitter when we're not, you know, physically in the same room with each other. And that is perfectly fine because I use Twitter and email sort of side by side. They're both always on my screen, and I'm using them sort of interchangeably without even thinking about it. This past weekend, for instance, I'll give you an example of how I use Twitter in my work as a journalist. This past weekend, I was just on Twitter, minding my own business. You know, I was just using it for personal pleasure. When I started seeing all these tweets about Comcast, people having their Comcast internet being down, and I kept seeing these, and it suddenly dawned on me that there was this very major outage, Comcast outage going on, that was very widespread. And so I started, you know, asking people, you know, what's going on. I started comparing notes with other people on Twitter who have, you know, technical expertise. It became apparent that if people changed their DNS settings on their hardware, they could route around the outage and sort of get back online. And so I went from, huh, something's going on, to, okay, what's the deal here, to what can people do? How can we fix this? And this all happened very quickly, and it's sort of an example of how powerful a hive mind Twitter can be. And at the same time, you know, Comcast was giving me, and by extension my readers, nothing. You know, I called a PR guy, and I got this very, you know, canned response. You know, that we're aware of the problem, we're working on it, stay tuned. That's of no use to me or to my readers, but, you know, at that point I was way beyond that. And I was sharing this DNS information with people, solving their problems, getting them back online. It was a very eye-opening, very, very powerful moment. And it's an example of, you know, how not just reporters like me, but just anyone on social media can sort of take matters into their own hands when the power that be is failing them. It was a very eye-opening Sunday night for me.
Sure. I was on Twitter at that same time. Let's see, what was oh yeah, that was the Steelers Ravens game. I was watching that too, and I did get that DNS information from the Google servers 8.8.8.8, but I wonder why didn't Comcast put that out?
And I have to be absolutely fair. Local PR was giving me nothing. People that called Comcast, you know, helpline and talked to Comcast people were getting nothing because apparently those people were not even aware that this DNS fix existed. But to be absolutely fair, on Twitter, the person currently minding the Comcast Cares account,
yeah, Bill Gurr,
his name, yeah. To be absolutely fair, he did throw out open DNS information for people. Didn't give them
did.
A lot of
okay.
information, but at least pointed them in the right direction. So I give him kudos. He did put that out there. And I might add, we were talking about, you know, how I interact with PR people on Twitter. My journalist, you know, to source interactions with him, with the Comcast Cares guy, was exclusively via Twitter. We exchanged direct messages. I got information that I then, you know, put in my story the next day in the newspaper.
Right, right. Just to give props to the person who responded to my situation, it was Brett Ski 111. Brett Ski 111. He put out a tweet back to me on the Comcast salute workaround. But and you're right, Girth was active, but I didn't see that he put out the DNS information. You're saying
I think
did.
He just mentioned OpenDNS in a tweet, and that was it. But at least he made people aware of that. And
yeah.
and so to sort of you know, finish my point here, that is an example of A, the power of social media, and B, the fact that I can do some fairly powerful, profound things regardless of my location. Because I was not in the office at the time. I was at home on my iMac, but I could have very well done all of this, you know, on an iPad in a coffee shop. I was on Twitter,
sure.
And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what device I'm on. I can do all of this anywhere. I don't have to be in the office. So I actually, you know, clocked on to, you know, my Pioneer Press job on Sunday night, as it were.
Right.
And spent 5 hours, you know, doing something very productive that helped a lot of people. It made me feel very good that I could make people aware of, you know, a few settings on their devices that would sort of get them back online. That was a very exhilarating and humbling moment for me.
Excellent. Well, this is my opportunity to game the system, because, you know, I could easily slug this podcast, iPad means business, or how mobile computing can help, and that kind of thing. But I'm going to slug it blank ways, because I hate solution headlines, blank ways to reach a technology journalist. And so Julio's going to help me, and you're going to fill in that. You're going to fill in however many blanks you want. What are the, you know, 3 to 5 ways? 3 to 5, I think, is usually the best number. You get too much, you get to the top 10 list, that gets a little cumbersome. But you know, 3 to 5 ways to reach out to a technology journalist. And I bet you I get more retweets on that headline than...
well, me specifically, Twitter. I have a system on Twitter. My main account automatically follows anybody who follows me back. So if a PR person follows me on Twitter, within a very short period of time, I'll follow that person back. And the reason that is important is because I never know at any given point with whom I want to have a productive, you know, private exchange. There has to be reciprocity in the Twitter following in order for DM to work. And I make sure that happens automatically, because I never know with whom I'm going to have an exchange. And so Twitter absolutely is the best way to get my attention. You know, the old standard email is fine. Keep track of my websites. I have I tend to be kind of a serial blogger, and I'm accumulating more and more blogs. As I get more adept at sort of juggling, I keep all these. I'm amazed I can keep so many blogs you know, active and productive. Sort of keep an eye on that activity, and the best way to do that is to go to my online hub, which is ojezap.com.
That's the blog where Pepita the guinea pig exists.
Yeah, my
the picture of it
died and
passed away recently.
Yeah, exactly. But if you go to that hub, then you'll see spokes sort of going in every direction. I have quite a lot going online, and that's the best way to keep track of it. And that's the best way for anyone, you know, my friends, PR people, professional associates, or whatever, to keep track of you know, who I am, what I like, what I do. Facebook is, I haven't really liked Facebook very much, but I'm getting more and more active on it, and I'm OJEZAP on Facebook. And Facebook is a confusing, cacophonous place for me. I don't like the feel of it very much, but it's more and more important for me to be there. Something interesting happened, in fact, a few weeks ago. My biological father and I had been estranged for many years. I was raised by my stepfather, but my biological father and I had not communicated for many years. And I decided to try to track him down. And I looked on Facebook, among other places, and I found his wife on Facebook. I didn't find him, but I found his wife. And by extension, my two half brothers, with whom I had never had any communication whatsoever.
Wow.
And then I reached out to them and learned, to my dismay, that my father had passed away back in 2003 or 6, I believe.
Mm.
And that was a bummer. But his wife is a wonderful woman, and I started exchanging Facebook messages with my half brothers. They live in Facebook, so in order for me to communicate with them, I have to be in Facebook as well. And I'm slowly beginning to develop a relationship with my two half brothers. They're very receptive to that, even though I've had zero communication with them. And we're both excited that our biological family has suddenly expanded exponentially, because with these family members have unexpectedly been added to the clan. And that is an example of why I'm going to stick with Facebook, because you never know when you're going to have moments like that.
Yeah, that is a fascinating story, man. Fascinating. When did you do that? This weekend? Recently?
Maybe 1 or 2 months ago.
Wow. That is a fascinating story. And you did that just by searching?
My half-brothers are younger than I am and living, you know, different lifestyle than I am. And so it's a interesting opportunity to get to know these new family members and, by extension, learn about things that are foreign to me, because we're very friendly with each other, but we're also very, very different. And that's an exciting opportunity for me, because, you know, it's good to interact with people that are not like you.
Yeah, sure. Well, I believe in that.
And that expands your horizons dramatically. One of my brothers, Mario, is a real estate agent in Florida. The other one is, he's, I believe, a music impresario, manages a nightclub. And it's funny how Facebook works, because my real estate agent half-brother, as it turns out, is Facebook friends with the sister of one of my best high school friends from high school in Puerto Rico.
Wow. And when you did the search, did you do it in Facebook or did you do it outside of Facebook?
Yes, in Facebook.
You did it in Facebook.
No, I just looked for my the surname that I shared with my deceased father.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Actually, I looked for Julio Ojeda, which is the name of my father. Didn't find that. Then looked for his wife's name, Ildi Ojeda, and I found her. And I was puzzled, because I could see pictures of her with her two boys, my half-brothers, but I didn't see my father. And at that point, I realized, you know, something was amiss.
Yeah.
And then, you know, subsequently learned that my father had passed away.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And then you just sent them messages. Is that how that you did that?
Then I friended them back. You know, told them, hi, I think I'm your half-brother. Can you confirm that? That was quickly confirmed. And we have since since begun communication. It's exciting in a certain way. It's a little daunting and intimidating in another way because, you know, you're not really sure how to act exactly with these people that have certainly come into your life. But at the same time, you want to forge ahead, you know, because, you know, family is family.
And, yeah.
And that, you know, that's really important.
And then the other thing that I find, because I've had folks from my childhood find me on Facebook and they've gone down a different path as well. And it's the communication between your current family situation, that could be the most odd conversation. In my case, it's, oh, wow, like, so this is kind of the neighborhood you grew up in, and it's a little bit more rough and tumble than my current family situation. And they could look 40 years ago and say, wow, you kind of grew up like that? And I went, well, yeah, I mean, that's what I grew up in. I mean, it is what it is, you know what I mean? So it's an awkward conversation at this point in time to your current, to the people you currently have relationships to explain what happened, you know, 15, 20 years ago.
Right.
Yeah, that's just kind of the odd thing.
And Facebook, the reason Facebook is becoming more interesting for me is because it's complementary. Twitter and Facebook serve entirely different purposes in my life. Twitter is primarily a tool for interacting with people that I don't have a history with, you know, professionally and personally. I've made a lot of good friends on Twitter. Twitter is how I continue to expand my personal and professional networks. So that's what Twitter is for. Facebook, to a very large extent, is for interacting with people that I already know, people from my past, high school friends, family members, cousins, you know, that sort of thing.
Do you block that down then privately?
No, because I'm also using it in a quasi-Twitter-like way. I friend all comers. Because I want to expand my professional network in any way I can, which is why, you know, per my earlier point, if PR people want to contact me, you know, Facebook is a way to do that. You know, go for it. I'll see your friend request or whatever. I'll friend you. But then Facebook has created Facebook used to be very simplistic, but now it's increasingly offering ways to create subgroups, you know, public subgroups, private subgroups, you know, that sort of thing. I've set up a private secret group that most people on Facebook can't see, and that is a, you know, very private area where I share, you know, sensitive, you know, family photos.
Sure.
My wife doesn't like my son, pictures of my son to be online, you know, publicly. So I have this private area where a very small subset of my Facebook, you know, friend list interacts, where I can, you know, I can share things that I don't want, you know, the whole world to see.
And what about when you're trying to find topics? If you are pursuing a topic, whether it's, you know, mobile applications, do you search either hashtags related to that or podcasts or videos in order to get story ideas or to find resources?
What I do if I'm researching a topic and I need people to talk to, I have my three-legged stool, I call it. I throw the question out on Twitter first. You know, does anybody know about this, you know, X topic? And since I have at this point close to 12,000 followers, there's a very high probability that somebody has information that would be helpful for me. And then I use ProfNet and Help a Reporter Out, which are both services where you can file a query and, you know, and ask, you know, are there any experts on X topic? And both of those services have databases, you know, of experts, and those experts will see your query and will respond. So ProfNet and Help a Reporter Out are the more traditional, more official ways for me as a reporter to find sources. But Twitter serves that role more informally because it's sort of an oracle. I ask the oracle a question and usually get a useful answer. And I can ask Twitter. It's like the magic eight ball, but a lot more informative. I just ask a question. Ask any question. Just ask a question. get an answer. Twitter is very powerful in that regard. You need a fairly extensive, you need to have a certain threshold of followers for that to work, but it's worked very well for me.
Right, right, exactly. How about things like Pitch Engine or you know, any other news wire services? Do you get those blasts, or is that throwing something out into the a black hole?
I'm always receptive to any service to which I can subscribe via an RSS feed. So if there's a new service that purports to be useful to a journalist but does not provide me with an easy way to subscribe to updates via RSS, or to get those updates, you know, via Twitter, you're out of luck. So I'm open to anything, but you need an RSS feed, and you need the equivalent of an RSS feed in terms of a Twitter account.
Right.
Like, for instance, in my RSS feeds, there's PR Newswire. I get PR Newswire updates about, you know, consumer tech products and services.
Right.
And every so often, I'll stumble on something locally that I didn't know about, you know, through my... I live in Google Reader. That's the other very useful thing for me. I subscribe to a lot of feeds, and I've become more and more adept at sifting through those for useful information. I'm perplexed and astounded by people who say that RSS is dead or dying, and that Twitter is the replacement. I don't buy that, because Twitter is very serendipitous. Google is a more exhaustive, more thorough, more precise way to sort of keep up with information on websites that are of interest to you. And so
sure.
I love RSS. I don't use it exclusively. I also use Twitter. I use lots of other things, but RSS and my Google Reader is fantastic. And all these apps are emerging for using Google Reader on any device. Like, there's Reader, R-E-E-D-E-R, for iOS devices, for the iPad, for the iPhone, and now for the Mac as well. Google just put out its own Google Reader app for Android devices. There's Net Newswire on the Mac. There's FeedDemon on the PC. There's tons and tons of apps for all platforms that sync with Google Reader and make Google Reader easier to use. And so I absolutely love the Google Reader service. It's fantastic.
I thank you for being on the Marketing Edge. Listeners, the hub is ojezap.com. ojezap.com. That's Julio's main blog, and from that you'll get a chance to go out to other blogs that perhaps are more pertinent for you. And then, of course, the book is iPad Means Business.
And you can get information about it at padforwork.com or at happyabout.info.
Padforwork.com. Well, always good having you on the Marketing Edge, Julio, and we will we'll hook up for lunch here before the end of the year for sure.
Great, Albert. I really enjoyed you having me on. It's always a pleasure.
Well, you know, the Marketing Edge is in its sixth year of production, and I thank you all so much for listening. Love your comments. All those comments will lead to a food item that we give to a St. Paul food shelter through our church here in St. Paul, Minnesota, called Lumen Christi. And so I appreciate your comments, your tweets. So every tweet, every comment we get on the blog at providentpartners.net/blog will also lead to a food item being given. And we have great shows coming up in the can. Let's see who. Oh, Groupon. We interviewed Groupon, and so we have that podcast coming up about using Groupon as a marketing tactic. And we also have a great podcast with how one production company and one mattress company has used video as a wonderful way to break the code on getting through a message about inner springs in mattresses. And so we'll have that podcast too coming up after the Christmas holiday. Thanks so much for listening to The Marketing Edge. I'm Albert Marucci.